in Psalms chapter 40. This is what he said. Psalms chapter 40. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And He wouldn't hear a thing I had to say. Now, is that what that said? Huh? Is that what the Bible says? David said, I waited patiently. For who? For the Lord. Not His general. Not what the people had to say. Not what the other nations wanted. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord God Almighty that still sits on His throne.
Right. Yes.
And when I waited on Him patiently,
right,
He inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Hallelujah.
When's the last time God heard your cry? Come on. I'm not talking about tears of pity. Oh, help me right here tonight, God. I'm not talking about pitiful little crocodile tears over something that didn't work out the way you wanted it to. But a broken heart cry. How long has it been since you fell on your knees and prayed unto God up in heaven? How long since you knew that He'd answer you and keep you the whole night through? How long has it been since you raised with the dawn and felt like the day's worth the living? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew He cared for you? That kind of cry. That's the kind of cry that David was issuing to God out of the depths of his soul. But he said, I waited patiently. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Many would fear and trust more in the Lord God Almighty if they heard and saw a whole lot more of that in the hour we're living in tonight. They'd fear God again. They'd trust in the Lord God again. They'd sing a new song. What kind of a song? Nothing with flesh in it, but praises to our God. You're here tonight because of the greatness of God. That's what Nehemiah said all through that book. Oh, great God. By His, we're here because of His greatness. Woo! The brother already quoted it tonight. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This world that we're living in, men in the flesh on this earth, they got a way of counting slackness. You promise me something, if you don't do it, you're a dog. If it ain't when they want it, but ain't how they want it, ain't the moment they want it, they count it so quickly. God has got more patience and more restraint than we'll ever know. If it was left us... His Son. Not so with the Holy Ghost. We read over in Genesis chapter 15. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, Genesis chapter 15, 15 through 16. And this is what God had to say. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they, that is, talking about Abraham's descendants, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Boy, you know them Amorites hated Israel. They hated the Hebrews. They hated them, brother. They attacked them. They hated them. They despised them. And Israel, God's people, that is to say, they dwelt right in the midst of it. Right in the midst of it. Ever live in one of them neighborhoods where there's one or two houses that right there in the block? You've tried praying them out. You've tried witnessing to them. You've called the police a few times and nobody. You've done everything you could because it seemed like they hated and despised everybody in the world and their family and their neighborhood. They were nothing but sheer trouble. But somehow God kept you safe and many others. You know why? Because He's got true patience that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. God gave them Amorites, though they hated Israel, though they despised them, He gave them 400 years to turn from their idolatry unto the living God. That's the patience of God. It's the same patience that He tries to work in us. He said, let patience have her perfect work. That perfect work, that's where it makes you not only love one another, but makes you keep loving one another with the love of God. I tell you what, friend, I'm beginning to realize why that David wasn't always so quick to go after the enemy. But he patiently waited and said, oh God, shall I pursue or shall I stay? He let God make the decision because God, my God, tonight I feel this down, plumb down in my shoes tonight. Because God is the one that ought to be making the decisions in our lives. If we'll wait patiently on the Lord, He'll hearken to us and tell us what we need to do, how we need to be, where we need to go. God will work it out. They took off and fought some enemy and come back. The Bible says to Ziklag, and it was nothing. Ziklag was burned to the ground. They burnt the town to the ground, took their wives, their daughters, their sons, took everything, and they were gone. If that was you and me, we'd go grab our Smith and Wesson or our Browning, and we'd say, my Lord, I'm getting them back. They're not going to do that. David said they wept till they had nothing left in them. And then David noticed it was so bad. It was so bad, they were even ready to stone him. In their eyes, he didn't look like that great captain anymore that knocked that giant down with a stone. Woo! He was a dog now. They lost everything now. They was having nothing but victory and killing every enemy and everything that God sent them to do. It was nothing but sweet victory. But now they come back to horrible defeat. And it changed them. Hey, we ought to wait on God in every circumstance or we're going to get flat in trouble. We're going to change. A change is going to come over us. hearing me tonight? He went and sent for the ePod, I believe it was. But I like what he did. He said, in other words, if I can say it this way, if you just allow me to do it, he was saying, God, this is horrible. They may be already dead. Our hearts are breaking. They're so upset, so frustrated, so broken, they're ready to stone me. And I didn't have a thing to do with it. Except I'm the leader. Lord, should we go? God, shall we go or shall we stay right here? God, you make the decision. God said, go. He said, you'll have it all back.
Hallelujah.
But what if one day God says no? Sometimes God says no. What a patient God. What a God that knows what He's doing. In every instance. In every aspect. No wonder David said, I waited patiently. David said, I made some horrible mistakes in my life. But I sure ain't proud of them. They're terrible for any man, especially a king, to get mixed up in. But he said, I do know one thing. I will always wait on the Lord. When he had his right spirit and his right mind, you know, we need that mind that is in Christ Jesus, or we ain't going to have a right mind. We're going to have nothing but an old carnal mind that can't do nothing for God, that can't do nothing for yourself, can't do nothing for your neighbor, can't do nothing for your church, can't do nothing about heaven, hell, this earth, or anything else, because God is in control. David said in Psalm 62, he said, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He didn't say He wouldn't be moved at all. He said, I'll not be greatly moved. Jesus said in this walk of life, you're going to have trials, tribulations, wars, rumors of wars, sorrow, brokenheartedness, sickness, death. He didn't say nothing at all. He said, I'll not be greatly moved. Sometimes we're moved, but we don't have to be greatly moved. The devil can knock you down, but he can't knock you out. I said the devil can knock you down, but he cannot knock you out. Unless you let Him. Why? Because God's my defense. Huh? When I'm down on my knees at that altar, or at my bedside, wherever I'm on my knees praying, sometime at work walking back and forth, you know what I'm doing? I'm working on a building. Huh? I'm awaiting on God, but yet I'm busy too. I'm working on a building. But how do you know what you're building? Because I got a manual with 66 books of instruction in it. Come on now, how about you? What if you run into a legal matter? I got a lawyer. Huh? You got one too if you run into some legal problem with the devil. I said if you run into a legal problem with the devil and these imps, you've got a lawyer tonight that'll stand for you and a God that'll hear him and throw the gavel down and say, case dismissed. You've got a rock. You've got an anchor. You've got some steadfastness tonight if you'll patiently wait upon God. If you don't, you got nothing to hold to. You'll run to some carnal lawyer, get you in trouble, and take your money. Woo! And lose it too. How could you win? How could you win? I'd rather say the Lord is my shepherd. You know why? I shall not want. I don't have to worry about lack with God. David said, once I was young, just like this young gentleman right here, this young brother, he said, once I was young, but now I am old. But he said, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little bit of my experience. Let me tell you what I've saw all the way to my good old age.
Hallelujah.
What's that, David? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Never! I ain't never seen it! You ain't either. You're living better now than some of you have ever lived all the days of your life, because God is great! Because God's your God! Because you've patiently waited on Him! Never seen it. And I'll go to my grave never seen it. My family, if they hang with God long enough, they'll never see it. The generations will never see it. Because God does not change. Son Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today. Is that what it said? Yesterday and tomorrow? No, today too. You mean today too? You mean today, tonight, here in Ashland, Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
Right now. Jesus has been the same for you back then when you started your journey. What has he not been to you lately? And you know something? He'll be there tomorrow. You know something? Because of him, Mary Angel, Sister Mary Angel, because of him and what he did on Calvary.
Right.
You know, when we get down to where we're going to die, I believe I heard a song or something say, Christians don't ever have to say goodbye. You know why? We'll see each other again.
Amen.
I mean, we don't have to say goodbye. Maybe good night and good morning, Jesus. But we don't have to say goodbye. Because he lives.
Come on.
I live also. Because he lives, you live tonight. Not just this physical existence, but eternally, spiritually with him in the spirit. You're living eternally. All. You're living eternally. You got an eternal home that this world can't taint. That this world can't put its finger in and get things entangled and warped and wrong like they are in this earth tonight. Ooh, ain't that good tonight? Ain't it good to know the Bible's true tonight, that I've got a home far away, that I can be with God and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and all those clouds of witness that made it, even God's holy angels that never left their first estate. You've heard it said down here, men kill for a little gold and silver up there, they walk on it. Walk on streets of gold, just walk on it. Woo, down here they kill and mar and hate and despise and tear up and covet so earnestly for everything that's just nothing but temporary. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus. And he told him to roll that thing away. His sister said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. That don't bother him. That don't bother him. It bothers us. It tears us to pieces. God knows that, but that's nothing for him. You know, it's nothing because his thoughts are far above our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Because he knows. You see, we don't know. A lot of things tears us to pieces. But man, you're serving one tonight that knows it all. He wasn't worried about him stinking, because he knew in just a few moments he was coming out of there. He knew what they didn't know. He knew what he was trying to get them to have faith to believe. He told her, he said, didn't I tell you? How many times has the Lord spoke to your heart in prayer and said, didn't I tell you, Mary Angel? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you if you just believe? that God would bring it to pass.
Right.
Have I been so long time in your heart and soul that you're still lacking faith in me because you've got one hand maybe in the world and the other trying to hang on to God and it won't work?
Right.
He said, if you divorce this world,
yeah,
you'd know it's so. Those that call on Him out of a pure heart. God loves everybody, but He really inclines and runs to that child that's calling out to Him from the heart with a pure heart.
Right.
If you got a child that's meaner than the devil, you'll love him. You'll be there for him. Even though he breaks your heart in two. Even though he steps on your face and your heart. Even though he goes around seemingly with blessings and he's slipping from you, but in his heart he's cursing. But who do you really run to? The quickest to, though, with that same love. That one that's obedient and loves you back with no ulterior motives. No ulterior motives. Nothing hidden under there. Wanting something out of this. We don't have to do that because He gave us everything. He already gave it to me. I said God gave us everything through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost. He's done. We're already heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Savior. We already have. There should be no ulterior motives. We got everything. Man, you're looking at me tonight. They sing a song on the radio. I don't know who sings it. But they sing a song that God wants to hear us sing in those dark hours and in them dark places. He still wants to hear us sing. You talk about patience. You talk about patience tonight. The Bible says he was despised. He was rejected of men. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. Hear me tonight. Bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by His stripes we are healed. And yet He fed the multitudes and healed the sick, raised the dead, brought joy and peace to many. He withstood the accusations of His enemies, had patience with His disciples, prayed to God regularly, and done His will. And all that time, He was bearing a horrible grief in His heart, the cross. Unshared, unknown, unspoken, most of the time. But He went ahead. That's patience. That's patience. It's good. And it happens a lot sometimes in our love. It's one thing to have patience and just sit down on a couch and cry. Or just lay in the bed. But when we're waiting on God and yet we're going on to and doing His will, I'm telling you what I feel tonight in my heart. That's patience. That's when you can really get down on your knees and say, Lord, I've waited patiently on You. And You've given me strength. And begin to glorify His name and say, Lord, You've given me strength to go on through it all. To cause joy to be in somebody else's life. Even though there's no seemingly joy in mine right now. But you know what peace I've got tonight? Somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. He's not that far away. How many miles did He walk, wearied with the cross? How much joy did He bring to many when He couldn't maybe hardly feel it because He was so weary doing for others and doing God's will, the Father? God will give us that kind of strength tonight. He'll give us that kind of help and comfort tonight. It's His will. It's His promise. His promises are always yea for us. God has great patience tonight for His children. God's not wanting a one of us tonight to perish. God's wanting no man to have to perish. But especially His people tonight that call on His name and profess Him tonight. We've got so many promises. If we'd wait on God and stop getting in a hurry. Stop fussing with God thinking that we know better than He does. That we've got it figured out quicker than what He's doing. We've gotten smarter than God. But really, we just become foolish. What if God hadn't been patient with you when you were struggling, when you first got saved, and you were having all them struggles and them problems with your flesh, and some people are pointing and are talking? Come on now, can I get right down here with you? People are pointing and people are talking and are whispering and looking and are sneering. You know you had a problem, but you was trying your honest best to get a hold of God for it. And God began to teach you and begin to help you. God even began to shout you a couple times, maybe when you didn't even deserve it, Brother Ron. But God shouted you all over this place. God sees us walking the floors with tears, saying, God, I've got a struggle. I know I do. But it'll get out of hand worse if I don't wait on you. You won't forsake me, God. You're going to come through for me in just a little while. Oh, Brother Jerry, I want to see the rainbow. Then you got to go through the storm. You want to see the rainbow and the sunshine? Then you got to go through the storm. The old song says, have you ever noticed when that lightning stops flashing, and the thunder stops rolling, that wind stops blowing, and that sun comes out, everything is more clearer, more fresher, more peaceful, more cleaner. After that battle, and your eyes have been washed with tears, in your heart you can see a whole lot clearer. When you come off a long, wearisome, hard journey, sleep is more precious when you're weary and worn. And the sun shines much brighter after the storm. Oh, that we would wait on God. He'd incline unto us. He'd show us His love. He'd help us. He has, but He wants to do so much more. I ask Him to come and get a song tonight. I preach just what I believe God laid on my heart to preach. We need to patiently wait upon God because God knows what He's doing. And when we wait on God, God will begin to form, begin to work with our heart. We'll become more like His Son, Christ. And we'll begin to treat others and do others like Him. we'll really know about the will of the Father then, more than we ever have before. It's not good to get in a big hurry all the time unless God's saying, run. I'm talking about running the race. Unless God's saying, run, son, run. But sometimes God says, hold on, boy. Hold on just a moment. You know why? When God does the work, Brother Gary, He doesn't do it just for our benefit only, but it benefits everybody else. This church has been benefited quite a bit. Every church has got its woes and its struggles and its problems. But, buddy, if we'll wait on God, if we'll do what God wants us to do and wait on Him and be faithful in what He's already given, I'm telling you, God will do it. Brother Ron, you know that. God will do it, son. God will do it. Don't get in a big hurry, Ron. Don't get in a big hurry. Don't let others make decisions for you, Ron. Stick. Wait on God. We go into church house sometimes, they got 15 pastors running all over the place trying to say how it ought to be. What if there was 15 gods in heaven trying to get your attention and tell you what you need to do? My God, what confusion! And confusion is of the devil. Now that's the Word of God. Hallelujah. That didn't cost you one extra dime tonight. I couldn't live with 15 Jesuses running around trying to tell me what to do. I can get by with one God that knows it all and's got the power and the authority and set things in order. I want to be a part of the order, not the confusion.
Well, I'm feeling it now. I don't know, Mary Angel. Wait a second. Hang on with me right here.
I believe in the Trinity, not the quad million Trinity. The quad million bunch. Let me tell you something. I'm about ready to close, honestly. I feel it in my heart, Brother Ron. I really do. Korah came up against Moses. Hear me. Korah came up against Moses and said, you take too much on yourself. It's a wonder the earth didn't swallow him up right there. It's a wonder God didn't strike him down right there. But God's a patient God. Oh, that none should perish. But when people want to, God will let them. I said, when you want to perish and don't want to do right and don't want to give with the program, God will let you. Moses said, Korah, my God, son, you must have been out there in the desert chewing on loco weed. You must have peeked in behind a veil and just about got yourself ruined. What's the matter with you, son? Don't you know anything yet? God has given you and your bunch a job to do. And now you want the priest job too? Think he can handle it, big boy? You ought to run with your pastor for a while. See how long you hang out and take it. Maybe God ought to give you all of His woes and burdens of the church plus His own and see how you fare with that for a while. Then come back and try to tell everybody how it needs to be done. Let God tell us how it needs to be done. Let God call the shots. Let God do the anointing. Let God further somebody if He wants to run them up the ladder leg. If not, He'll hold them back.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I really tore it all up now. Sorry, I might be leaving tonight. That's the truth, though. I don't think I said nothing wrong, Brother Ron. I really don't. It ain't God that's got it wrong. It ain't God that's out of control and don't know what He's doing. That only leaves one of the bunch. And bless God, that's us. We just need to get it right. I'm not saying we've always got it wrong and we're a bunch of devils tonight and this and that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we just need to come up a little bit more. We just need to get that word a little bit more. We need to... But you know what? If you begin to read and study God's Word and ask God to give you some understanding and pray and fast over it and seek Him diligently, you know He's a rewarder of them that seek Him diligently. You know what would happen? God, I said God, not some seminary with homiletics and hermeneutics. Did I say that right? I don't know if I did or not. I guess I did. Not some, and I'm not against education and some Bible schools and classes, if they're right. But if we let God be God, God will put it all in order. And you know what God will do? He'll begin to help you to see it His way. And we won't go around all the time saying, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I just don't understand. Baloney. Oscar Mayer makes baloney. And the devil's been feeding a lot of us baloney. We eat it once in a while. All of us do. We're all as guilty as can be. Every one of us. Every one of us. When I'm preaching to you, you ought to see the knots laying back there behind that pulpit. That's right. You know why? And even the pastor sometimes. You know why? Because he's a sheep too. He's a spiritual leader in this church, but he's also one of the flock. He's a sheep too. And God helps all his sheep. You begin to see them good old, and not that you haven't, but more real good old time revivals. People standing around wall to wall, maybe stand outside, can't even get in. When God gets His way real good. And we set 15 pastors down and 15 Jesuses and 15 Holy Ghosts all over the place. And everybody finds their place in God. What they do on the day of Pentecost? One mind and one accord. Peter was the spokesman, but he was one of them that was praying for the promise. One mind and one accord. Things then begin to happen. Well, play now, sister. Play now. Let's all stand if we would tonight. I feel that's all that's on my heart. He's a good God tonight. As she gets ready and plays a song here, let's everyone that will, let's just enter into these altars tonight. Let's get a hold of God.
How long has it been? Did you talk with the Lord and told Him your heart here in secret? How long did you pray? How long did you stay?